Every tree that bringeth not good fruit shall be cut down and shall be cast into the fire. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Words taken from the gospel for this seventh Sunday after Pentecost, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On October 13, 1917, the little shepherdess Lucia asked Our Lady at Fatima, I have many things to ask of you, to heal some sick people and to convert some sinners. She has all these requests and she's telling Our Lady, what should I do with them? The beautiful lady responded before working the miracle of the sun. Some, yes. Others, no. People must amend their lives and ask pardon for their sins. Then, growing even more sad, she added, they must not offend our Lord anymore, for he is already too much offended. Our Lady said some prayers, some of the prayers, some of the asking for people's conversions and healings would be denied. No, was the answer. Why is this? These people were not committed to amending their lives. They did not have true contrition. And better yet, we can say they had no compunction. In other words, our Lord and His Mother will answer prayers. They will convert sinners. They will heal wounds. But we have to cooperate with grace to become truly Christian. No matter what has happened to us, however bad, however evil, or whatever sin we've committed in the past. And St. Mary Magdalene gave herself over to evil so completely she had seven demons. Yet by responding to the grace of compunction, she is now numbered among the greatest saints in heaven. And her feast day was this last week. Now, compunction can be defined simply as the piercing of the heart with habitual contrition. The piercing of the heart with habitual contrition. Those with compunction are not just sorry some of the time or sorry when they feel the damage their sins have caused themselves or others. No, it is habitual sorrow for what their sins had done to His Majesty, to their King, to their Lord, their Savior. How they have hurt God and His church. Those with compunction understand completely the meaning of Our Lady's words at Fatima. People must not offend our Lord anymore, for He is already too much offended. The 14th century Blessed Raymond of Capua, the spiritual director of St. Catherine of Siena, started to doubt the special favors. They were so fantastic. He started to doubt the special favors granted to St. Catherine. So he put her to the test, asking her for the favor of feeling a great and extraordinary contrition for his sins, which is the same as asking for the grace of compunction. He knew that when contrition for sin rises up in our hearts, this is always a great sign of the grace of God. The devil is incapable of granting such a request. The next day, as he was talking to the saint, there came before his mind an unusual vision of his sins, such that the cataracts, he writes, of my flinty heart were loosed, and fountains of water overflowed to lay bare the depth of my sins. I burst into tears so violently that I almost felt my heart would break. There it is, compunction, piercing of the heart with habitual contrition. Water is found throughout the account of creation, inspired by God and written down by Moses so long ago, what the Catechism of the Council of Trent calls sacred history. This is the real thing. This is how it really happened. Not surprisingly, then, water is found seemingly in every part of creation. Above the earth, on the earth, and below the earth. Because water is of the foundation of the world. It's a founding substance, as it were. Just as this is true on the natural order of things, so too the supernatural. Since water washing at the baptismal font is the first and most necessary of the sacraments. And since holy water is used to bless all things. And after all, more importantly, water flowed, real water, flowed from the pierced side of Christ on the cross. It should not surprise us then to find that compunction is connected to the cleansing waters of tears of sorrow. Listen to some of the prayers found in the Missale Romanum, the old traditional missal that is so ancient, asking for the grace of compunction. The collect reads thus, Almighty and most merciful God, who to quench the thirst of thy people didst draw a fountain of living water out of the rock, draw from our stony hearts tears of compunction, that we may be able to mourn for our sins and win forgiveness for them by thy mercy. And the secret prayer reads like this in part, draw from our eyes such floods of tears as may quench the burning flames which we deserve. Just as the waters of baptism turns the enemies of Christ, the enemies of God and His church, into adopted children, into friends, into Christians and soldiers of Christ, so too does compunction turn even the worst of sinners and the most lukewarm into zealous friends of His Majesty and His mystical body, the Roman Catholic Church. Those who killed St. Thomas a Becket, if you know the story, gave their lives to the Crusades, fighting for God's cause to wipe away their sin, their murder. In the life of St. Fernando III, the great 13th century king of Castile, the mortal foe of Islam, we find two individuals who started out their career opposing the king. They opposed him in some way, one perhaps worse than the other. But yet after some time, these enemies of the king became thoughtful and responded to the grace of the King of Kings. One of these was Don Alvar Perez de Castro. This famous and courageous knight had fled to live with the Moors in Granada, where he and his men became mercenaries, even fighting alongside the Muslim Moors against the Christians. But through the prayers of King Fernando, he was moved to return to the Christian cause. And he did this so profoundly, so thoroughly, that soon he was numbered among the most zealous of all the king's knights. Nothing was too hard for this man. He refused even to wear armor and only used a big wooden staff to fight and take out many a Muslim Moor. And when he did, over and over, as one of the king's best, most loyal and successful generals, the power of compunction, it turns enemies into the best of friends. The other of these knights was Don Lorenzo Suarez. He was exiled into the Moorish lands for his hardness of heart, evil behavior, and disloyalty. But after a time of living with the Moors as a mercenary, he longed to change and make up for his misdeeds. Here is what he recounted as the changing moment of his life. Brace yourself. Once he had come across a group of Moors standing around a priest. Thinking that something was probably amiss, he went over to the group just in time to see the depraved priest preparing to profane a host he had just consecrated, much to the delight of his audience. The offense offered to God was more than Lorenzo could stand. He reacted at once to prevent the reprehensible act. Before he even knew what he was doing, his sword was in his hand. A single leap carried him to the priest as the Moors ran for their lives. Don Lorenzo had prevented the sacrilege, but at the cost of the priest's life. The consecrated host lay on the ground as Don Lorenzo knelt before the body of Christ with tears streaming down his face. Knowing himself unworthy to touch the sacred host, he was unsure of what to do next. God himself provided the remedy. For the host suddenly rose into the air, and the stupefied knight watched, as if paralyzed, as it floated toward him. Finally coming to rest on his clothing, Don Lorenzo took the host and left the area lest the Moors should return seeking to desecrate it or kill him. Then and there he resolved to make his way back to the Christian side or die in the effort if need be. This he did a few days later to earn the pardon of the king. And like Don Alvar Perez, he became one of the most loyal, zealous, and trusted of King Fernando's men. The power of compunction, the cleansing water of tears, it makes determined enemies into zealous friends. We should all want the grace of compunction. It is something worth praying for and working to merit. If we don't have it, we have to work at it. And we should want it. For those who receive this grace of tears find wonderful effects working in their souls and in their lives. Here are a few of its effects. First, amazingly, they are free of the need or the impulse to blame other people for their troubles. They see the source of all their trials as coming from themselves, not others. They stop pointing the finger and cease the all too human tendency to rewrite history, to exculpate personal fault, personal blame, but rather awaken to see that they themselves are the main cause of all their woe. That's a great grace, folks. We should all want that. Second of all, they're able to endure patiently and meekly the faults, failings of others around them. This is because they see themselves much more clearly and how much they themselves have offended God and how gracious He has been to them. As a result, the slights, the jabs, and the bad behavior of others seem very small and insignificant in comparison. Thus, to forgive and forget comes easily to those with compunction. Nothing is too hard for them. Their battle cry is, I deserve this for the love of God and the salvation of souls and to make reparation for my past sins. Nothing is too hard for them. No obstacle seems too high to surmount, nor suffering too difficult to be endured. I don't know about you. We all should want that. I know I do. Third of all, they easily become most grateful and loyal supporters of God's church and His devoted servants. The schismatic murderers of St. Josaphat repented of their crime. They converted to the Roman Catholic Church to end their lives as loyal Catholics. Those with compunction long to undo all they did previously. Instead of a source of trial, they become a source of consolation. They long to serve those they previously attacked, to make amends. It's a great grace. And finally, meditating upon the Passion becomes the focus of their lives. Their love for the stations and the sorrowful mysteries of the rosaries is unchecked. Everything about His Majesty's Passion touches them deeply. They experience the healthy and healing sadness of Christ for sin. They mourn for their sins and those of the world. It was this desire to weep over the passion of His Majesty that motivated the great Saint Teresa of Jesus to pray for 20 years to be granted the grace of compunction. And when she was granted this grace, she became the great mystic we love and know so well. We can now end where we started. So many want their prayers answered, problems solved, conversions of family members obtained, wounds and ill health cured. Our Lady said, for some these things would be granted, but for others they would not be granted. Why was the answer no? Lack of compunction is one of the reasons. Let us take this to heart. If we want heaven to hear and answer our pleas, it may be that we ourselves need to start praying for compunction and meriting this grace first. And then our prayers will not be just, Lord, Lord, but rather accompanied by a sincere and determined will to be about fulfilling our duties of state and life, to be about living according to the commandments of God without fail, with great zeal even, and finally with habitual contrition of heart, willing to do anything, no matter how difficult, to make up for our past sins and to have our prayers answered. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.